Thank you, ladies, for sharing with us. I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles, if you will, this morning to 2 Chronicles chapter 19. 2 Chronicles 19. I want to share a passage of Scripture there with you. Again, it's good to be back with you. And most of you, I didn't say a lot about me last week or about my family. Jeanette and I were I pastored here from 2008 to about 2016. And it was a blessing. We thank the Lord for what He did and what He accomplished here. And some of you know my family. We have three children. We have four grandchildren, an emphasis on the grandchildren. They are a blessing. We're thankful for them, watching them grow up in the Lord, and great joy. And we have one dog and we have four chickens. So that you know everything there is to know about me. And no, God's been good to us, and I pastored First Baptist Church for 10 years there, and then my associate youth director took over there, and we have been visiting some of our sister churches and other churches, and we hope just to be a blessing, and we certainly encourage you to pray for us that as we seek to do God's will and encourage others and to be a witness to others. But it's good to be back with you. And I appreciate the opportunity and appreciate the honor to be here and be a part of this service today. But if you have any questions that go deeper in what I shared with you, just ask my wife. She knows everything, and she will give you the answers. And but I'm thankful again to have my wife here with me. Second Chronicles chapter 19. For those that are able to, we're going to read the whole chapter 19. Isn't that exciting? There's only 11 verses, but that's exciting. I want to invite you, for those that are able to stand with me as we honor His word this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 19 and verse 1. It says, "And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to the king Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord?" And may I just say this, there's nothing wrong with preachers preaching or speaking about or rebuking our leaders, politicians, and standing on the Word of God. The reason our country's in the mess it is in today is because preachers don't stand up and declare the Word of God like they should. And rebuke our leaders that when they do things wrong or things that are ungodly. But he goes out and he rebukes King Jehoshaphat, and he says, "Therefore, wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God," and how important that is. "And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem and went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim, and brought them back unto the Lord the Lord God of their fathers. And he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, and city by city. And he said unto the judges, take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed to do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, no respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Moreover, in Jerusalem did Jehoshaphat set the Levites and the priests and the chief of the fathers of Israel for the judgment of the Lord, for controversies when they returned to Jerusalem. And they charged them, saying, thus shall ye do in the fear of the Lord faithfully and with a perfect heart. And what cause soever shall come to you of your brethren that dwell in their cities between blood and blood, between law and commandment, statutes and judgments, ye shall even warn them that they trespass not against the Lord. And so wrath come upon them, or come upon you and upon your brethren. This do, and ye shall not trespass. And behold, Amariah, the chief priest, is over you in the matters of the Lord, and Zebadiah, the son of Ishmael, the ruler of the house of Judah, for all the king's matters. The Levites shall be officers before you. Deal courageously, and the Lord shall be with the good. Father, we thank you again for your grace. Thank you for the privilege to come and just assemble ourselves one more time in your house just to worship you. Father, I thank you for these that are gathered here. And I realize they could be somewhere else, but Lord, you've brought them here. And we just pray that we'll find strength and nourishment from your word, that we might be the servants you'd have us to be. Father, we realize how unworthy we are. I'm unworthy to stand here, but I'm so thankful for your mercy and your grace. And I'd pray you would empower me with your Holy Spirit, that what we say today would encourage and help and strengthen your people and further the cause of Christ. Father, bless this hour. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I read about a tragedy that happened to a little girl on February 24th, 2001. A one-year-old Canadian girl named Erica wandered out from her house and spent the entire night in the Edmonton winter. When her mother, Leela, found her the next day, Erica appeared totally frozen. Her legs were stiff, her body was frozen, all signs of life appeared to be gone. Erica was treated at the Edmonton's Stollery Children's Hospital Center, where she was resuscitated. And to the amazement of all, it appeared that there was no signs of brain damage, and the doctors gave Erica a clear prognosis. You know, I thought about that, how amazing that is, that God could bring, give life back to this little child. But you know, in the Christian walk, in a Christian life, when a Christian backslides, when we get outside the will of God, I don't know if any of you have been there or not. Probably all of you are spiritual. I'm probably the only one that's ever backslid before. But when a Christian backslides, his heart grows cold. And sometimes we become indifferent, and we're not on fire concerning God and the things of God. But I want you to know this morning that God is able to restore a Christian to his first love. God's able to rekindle that fire and give us the passion and the desire that we ought to have to serve him. God can do a work in the life of the believer, and I'm so thankful for that. And if you go back and you read chapter 18 of Jehoshaphat's life, and you follow him, you'll find in the reign of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, that he began to reign when he was 35 years old. And he started off good. He did some great things in bringing the people back to the Lord. And revival broke out in the land, and God was blessing and doing mighty things. And as the years passed, he made some tragic decisions. He started keeping company with the wrong people. In chapter 18, if you go back and read that, you're going to find that he aligned himself with King Ahab. Anybody ever heard of Ahab? The king of Israel. And he aligned himself with him. And he made some wrong choices, because when he was with Ahab, Ahab convinced him to go out and battle someone else, or convinced Jehoshaphat to go out with him to battle against another enemy. And God advised and warned them not to do that. But Jehoshaphat went ahead and made that decision to join Ahab, who was a very wicked king. And it almost, he almost lost his life as a result of that, and became a spiritual casualty living outside the will of God. And he's been walking outside the will of God for his life in chapter 18. It was never God's will that he go down and join himself with Ahab. It was never God's will that he go out with Ahab and battle another enemy. And that was not God's will. So Jehoshaphat has been living outside the will of God. But in chapter 19, we see him coming back to the will of God. You know, have you ever made a wrong decision before? Well, yeah, I don't know about you. Again, I've made a lot of wrong decisions before. I asked my wife that question, I think, last night. Have you ever made a wrong decision before? And, of course, she acknowledges, yes. I said, but it was not a wrong decision to marry you. I'm glad I married her. And next month will be 47 years. So God has been good to us. But there's been plenty of wrong decisions. And Jehoshaphat made a wrong decision. He made a wrong choice to align himself with the wrong people, and God judged him for that. But I want you to see the return. I'm so thankful that the Bible records that he returned back to the Lord. Notice verse 1, and so Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. So he was returning, going back to where God would have him to be, and back to Jerusalem. And in justice, as he was returning back, the Lord through the prophet spoke to him. And he's returning from being with the wrong people in the wrong place, facing an adversary, an enemy that God had never intended for him to fight. And he's returning. But I'm so thankful. The key is this, is that he is returning. He's going back to Jerusalem, back to the place that God would have him to be. And I'm so thankful for that. And I'm so thankful this morning that God will pardon the repentant sinner the moment we repent of sin, the moment we confess, the moment we surrender ourselves to him and we turn back to God. Isn't it amazing that God will forgive us? In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful. He's willing to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I'm so thankful for that, that God is always faithful, that when we repent of sin, the moment we humble ourselves, the moment we let go of pride, the moment we confess our sins, we can be made right in the sight of God. And so we see Jehoshaphat going back to the Lord, back to that place he needs to be. You know, and whenever you find yourself outside the will of God, you know what? When you're outside the will of God, you're in the wrong place. You're in the wrong place. And maybe it's walking with the world. Maybe it comes as a result of keeping company with those that have no love for God. Maybe it's in a place of immorality that you find yourself. Maybe you have an unforgiving spirit. Maybe it's in the place of rebellion or complacency. But again, no matter where we find ourselves, if we simply return to the place God wants us to be and we submit our life to him, then we can be forgiven and restored. So Jehoshaphat returns. But I want you to notice something else. I want you to notice the rebuke. Notice verse 2. And 3, and it says, and Jehu, the son of Hananiah, the seer, went out to meet him and said to the king Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou keep company, or shouldest thou help the ungodly, speaking of Ahab, and love them that hate the Lord? Should we condone what they do? Should we love them that hate the Lord? He said, therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. God was going to judge him. Nevertheless, there's good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. So the prophet comes and he rebukes the king of Judah for walking outside the will of God, for his alliance with the wrong people, for his alliance with Ahab. And God, I want you to understand that God loves us too much to not confront us about our sin. If you're a child of God, and you get outside the will of God for your life, I want you to understand, He loves you enough that He's going to discipline you. He's going to confront you. He's going to convict you. And if necessary, chasten you concerning your sin. He loves you that much. And by the way, if you are not a partaker of the chastisement of God, if you get outside, if you get living in sin and walking in sin and ungodliness and rebellion, and God doesn't discipline you and God doesn't correct you and God doesn't chasten you, listen, you really need to check up on your salvation. Because the Bible declares all those that are His will be partakers of chastisement when we get outside the will of God. But God loves us too much not to confront us concerning our sin. I'm so thankful that through my life, I had a dad who loved me and still loves me. He's still living. And whatever dad would say, son, we need to have a talk. You ever hear your dad say that? And the look on his face, he was not happy. And I don't know about you, but your stomach just ties up in knots when something like that happens. I still have the same knot every now and then when my wife says, we need to talk. And I get all scared again. No, not really. That doesn't really happen. I shouldn't be picking on her today. But my dad loved me enough to confront me when I did something wrong. And I'm so glad that I had a dad like that, that loved me enough to discipline me and correct me. I remember one time our oldest son, Matthew, who was 45. Is he 40? Oh, how old is he? Well, never mind. We'll figure that out later. But I remember when Matthew was just a young man, and he was we lived outside of Sullivan. We lived right next to the Merrimack Conservation Area. And I remember one time Matthew drug Becky, his little sister, into the woods in the conservation area. And they had the bright idea of taking an axe or a hatchet, and they chopped down a pine tree on the conservation land. When I found them, and I found them cutting down the tree, and it wasn't a huge tree, but it was a pine tree. And when I found them, I said, I got onto him, and I said, man, this you can't do that. This is against the law. You can't cut down trees like that here in the conservation area. And I said, you could go to jail, you know, and I just really getting on to him. But he came back to the house. I walked him back to the house, and he kept crying. He said, I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to go to jail. And, of course, they wouldn't have taken him to jail, but they might have given me a fine or something like that. But I confronted him about that, and he never did cut another tree down after that. But I'm so thankful, and I said all that just to remind you that God loves us just like we love our children, and He confronts us when we sin against Him. And it may be just in our heart, the attitude, the bad attitude we have, or whatever it is. God convicts us, and His Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin, that we're not right with Him. And sometimes God will use circumstances. Sometimes He'll use tragedy. Sometimes He'll use sickness. Sometimes He'll use a hospital bed. But He convicts us with the Holy Spirit. He convicts us with the Word of God. He might use a preacher or another person, but He convicts us concerning our sin when we get outside the will of God. And how we respond to God's dealing with us will determine what God will do for us and through us. Now, Jehoshaphat was confronted by the preacher. And he could have rebelled in pride and said, I'm just going to do what I want to do. And I don't care what God says. And I don't care what God thinks. And I don't care what the preacher says. I'm just going to do what I want to do. He could have been lifted up with pride and say, how dare you confront the king of Judah? He could have rebelled against God. I don't care about God and His word. Have you ever been rebuked or told to do something, and it just made you want to flare up in anger, and you just wanted to do the opposite? And that's pride coming out of our life. But Jehoshaphat did not rebel against God. He took that criticism and he got right with God and repented of his sin. I'm glad that Proverbs chapter 3 says this in Proverbs 3:11, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom God the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father in whom the son he delighteth." I'm so thankful again that God loves us enough to correct us and confront us when we sin against him. When we do not respond to God's rebuke in the right way, you know who we hurt? We hurt ourselves. When I don't respond to God's correcting, when I don't respond to the rebuke of the Lord in the right way, I hurt myself and I rob myself of the blessings that God wants to give me. And we limit what God can do in our lives and through our lives when we do not respond correctly to God's conviction and chastisement. But we see his return back to Jerusalem and his rebuke by the man of God. But notice also the restoring. When his relationship was right with God, something happened. Notice verse 4, if you will. And it said, "Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem and went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim and brought them back unto the Lord their God of their fathers." When Jehoshaphat got right with the Lord, something changed in his heart. And not only did God do a work in his heart, but he filled Jehoshaphat with the Spirit and he went out among the people because he wanted to declare the word of God. He wanted to bring the people back to a right relationship with God. He wanted others to hear about the Lord. And so he went out among them. And I think that's true in our own lives when we rebel against God and we get things right with God and we're restored and there's revival in our life, then we have a song in our heart and we have a joy in our heart and we want to share Christ with others when we are right with the Lord. And so he went among the people and he brought them back to the Lord, the God of their fathers. And I believe that placing the Lord God in his rightful place would, again, change our lives, but also change the lives of others. And I also know, and I believe this, that placing the Lord God in his rightful place, not only in our lives, but in our nation, is so important. If we're going to enjoy God's best and God's blessings on our nation, we need to return God back to his rightful place. I'm thankful for some of the victories that we've seen over the last a few months and years. I'm thankful for the things that God has done, and I'm thankful for his grace upon our nation. But I understand, as a whole, our nation is still going in a direction that is not right. We're still tolerating sin, and we're still walking in a way that's against the Word of God. And if we're going to enjoy God's best as a nation, we need to repent of our sin and give God his rightful place in our nation if we're going to enjoy God's best for our life. I think it's important for us, each one, to say, "God, I'm going to put you first in my life again. Lord, I want to surrender all to you." I think it's so important that every single day, say, "Brother Lowman, when I got saved, I gave my life to the Lord." And I think that's wonderful. But you know something, every single day, you ought to put God in his rightful place. Every single day, you ought to surrender your life to the Lord. Say, "Lord, here I am. Not my will, but thy will be done. Whatever it is you'd have me to do, I surrender myself to you and I put you and make you first in my life. My time is yours. My talents, I give them to you. My treasures, they belong to you. My testimony will be of your redeeming grace and your mercy. I give it all to you." America, our own personal lives, our country will never be the nation, will never be the people, will never be the nation that we once were until we humble ourselves before a holy God and give honor and glory that's due to him. But this is what Jehoshaphat did. He humbled himself before the Lord, and he began to tell others about the Lord. And he wanted to bring them back to the Lord God of their fathers. And that ought to be a desire of our own lives. I get burdened about my own children. And I know you have children, and I know you have grandchildren. But if we're walking with the Lord, and we've surrendered all to him, it ought to be our desire. Man, I want to bring my children, wayward children, back to the Lord. I want to see them come to the Lord. And do I want to do that for selfish reasons? No. Because I want them to enjoy God's best for their life. I want them to enjoy God's goodness and mercy and grace in their life. And they're missing out on that if they're walking outside the will of God. But when we get right with God, we desire others to come back to God. Not only our family, our lives, but our family, but also our friends, our nation. We want to see them enjoy God's best for their life. Jehoshaphat went among the people, but notice something else, the revival that took place. He had been walking for a long time outside the will of God. Now he returned. He's been restored. And we see a revival take place in the land again. Notice verse 5. That he is walking in the fear of the Lord. Verse 5, he says, and he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of the Judah and the city by city, and said unto the judges, take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man, who ye judge for, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. And so he set up judges. And he said, I want to encourage you and I want to admonish you. You need to take heed what you do. You need to have the proper fear of the Lord. You need to honor him. You need to obey him because you're judging for him. And he is a holy God. And he says there, and he says, verse 7, wherefore, let now the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it. For there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, no respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. And so he admonished them to walk in the fear of the Lord and judge accordingly and teach the people the statutes and the judgments of the Lord, because he is the one that we serve, and we serve a holy God. But we also see him walking in the righteousness of the Lord. Verse 8, he says, and moreover, in Jerusalem, Jehoshaphat set up the Levites and the priests of the chief of the fathers of Israel for the judgment of the Lord and for the controversies when they returned to Jerusalem. And he charged them, saying, thus shall ye do in the fear of the Lord faithfully and with a perfect heart. And so he admonished them to walk in righteousness and faithfully carry out the word of God and carry out the judgments of the Lord and do it with a perfect heart. We serve a God, I'm so glad, that is merciful. And when we return to him, he will forgive and he will restore and he'll make things right in our life. We have a great example of someone who rebelled against God, got out of God's will, and then repented of sin, and God restored him. In Psalm 51, David spoke about his sin and his iniquity. And he said, I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. And if we're going to be right with God, we have to acknowledge our sin and we have to agree with God that we have sinned against him, that we have rebelled against him. My heart, my attitude, my mind has not been right before him. But later in that same chapter, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me, and restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He didn't say restore unto me thy salvation, but restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. A child of God living outside the will of God can lose the joy of their salvation. But he says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. And then he says, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. And my tongue shall sing aloud thy righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. You know, isn't it an amazing thing when we get outside the will of God and we return to him and we respond to the rebuke or the correction of God and we make things right, then we're restored to right fellowship with God and we have revival in our heart. And because of that revival, that joy the Holy Spirit brings, we want to praise God and we want to tell others about the goodness of God. Say, Brother Loman, I've made such a mess of my life and I've done so many things wrong and I've made some bad choices and bad decisions and I regret those things. But listen, if you have taken them to God and you have confessed those things, that he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And listen, Satan wants to remind you of your failures. Satan wants you to remind you of the choices you've made. And he wants to hinder you and discourage you. But listen, if God has forgiven you and restored you, you need to rejoice about that and thank God for that. And then go and tell others about the grace of God and what he's done. You know, I've counseled with people in the past that have committed some really what we would call bad sins. And they wept over it. I remember one man not too long ago, two or three years ago, we met in a restaurant. And he told me his story. Told me the sin he had committed. And he was brokenhearted. In that restaurant, he was weeping because of his sin. And I want you to know, when we humble ourselves and we, with a contrite heart, we confess our sins, that joy of our salvation can be restored. We can be forgiven. We can know the grace of God. We can know the goodness of God. And we can know the mercies of God. Oh, I'm so glad that we serve a God that when we return to him, he forgives and he restores. Even when we make a mess of our life, he is still faithful. I read about a little hunchback boy who attended Sunday school. And he had memorized some Bible verses along with all the other kids in his class. And one Sunday evening, he was to come up on the stage in front of the church and recite the verses and then walk off the stage. But as he came up on the stage and was getting ready to recite the verses, there was one cruel youngster seeing the hunchback boy stumbling onto the stage. He yelled out, "Hey, cripple, why don't you get that pack off your back?" You could have heard a pin drop. As that little boy just stopped and dissolved in tears. And suddenly, a man got up, walked down the aisle, came up on the stage, and took that little boy and put his arms around him. And the man said this, "I don't know what kind of person would say something like that, but I just want to say the most courageous person in this room today is this little boy. You see, he's my son, and I'm proud of him." And he reached down and picked up his son and carried him back to his seat. You know, that's what God does for us. We may be bruised. We may be broken. And he takes that bruised and broken fashion of our lives, and we try to do our best, and we stumble, and we fail, and we make a mess of things. And we're ridiculed and rejected by the world. The Lord says, I want you to know something. You're mine. And I'm proud of you. And I love you. And I want to use you for my honor and glory. Today, I could take you to people that are struggling right now. I could take you to people that in the last few days have wept over their sin and weep over their rebellion against God. But I want you to know this morning, I don't care who you are, what you've done. I want you to know this morning, there is hope in the Lord. Amen. If we humble ourselves and we bring all of our brokenness, all of our sins to Him, we cast them at His feet. There's mercy. There's forgiveness. You might be carrying a load this morning of sin. The Lord said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm so thankful that we can bring all of our brokenness and all of our sins, and we can find forgiveness and we can find rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You might be here this morning, you've been struggling, carrying a load of guilt, a load of sin, maybe past failures, but I want you to know there's a God who wants to help carry that load. He wants to help carry that burden. He wants to take it away if you'll humble yourself and you'll come to Him. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your grace, your goodness. Father, so thankful for your mercy in my own life. I realize how wretched I am apart from Christ. But Father, you know the needs in this room. We all struggle with sin. We all fail at times. Help us to have the humility to acknowledge our sin and confess it and to make things right with you so that we might enjoy your best, so that we might have the joy of your salvation. Father, work in our hearts and lives this morning. If there be needs, Father, we pray your Holy Spirit would just meet those needs. And we ask these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.